Hey there, Sherry Nicole here, and welcome to the April episode of the Black Woman Working Podcast. In this episode, we delve into the beauty and empowerment of natural hair and lock care, a topic close to the hearts of many in our community. Joining us is Candace Metcalf, the visionary behind Natural Yours by Candace, a beacon of wisdom and expertise in the realm of natural hair care. With her passion for nurturing and embracing natural beauty, Candace has become a trusted guide for countless individuals on their hair care journey. Together, we'll explore the significance of natural hair and locks as symbols of cultural identity and self-expression. We'll also delve into the intricacies of caring for and maintaining these styles, discussing tips, techniques, and the importance of holistic hair care practices. So, whether you're a seasoned naturalista or someone curious about embarking on this empowering journey, join us as we delve into the world of natural hair and lock care with the one and only Candace Metcalf. All right. Hey there, Sherry Nicole here for our April edition of Black Woman Working. And this is kind of spontaneous because I'm sitting here in the chair getting my hair retied. I've been locked for about a year now, and I was like, why wouldn't I interview my amazing loctician? So I decided to put Candace on the spot.
Thank you.
Because I feel like this is an opportunity for many women who are either on the verge of wanting to lock, or if there are is someone who is considering even going from relaxed hair to natural hair, to really have a conversation. And let's be honest, she'll be in my head for probably the next hour and a half, so why not have this conversation that we talk about anyway? And really what got it sparked is my mom is considering locking, and I was like, wow, these are some things that maybe any woman would know. So I appreciate Candace being willing to be spontaneous, and she has no choice because she's in my head. She can't run from me, y'all. So before we get started, Candace, tell us first a little bit about your journey to become a loctician, and then also your story, because you actually are locked yourself, but you recently went from you really just cut your locks off, and now you're doing micro locks. So Yes. For a little bit, just tell everybody like your journey of how you became a natural hair beautician and loctician, and then kind of like your own personal journey with your hair.
Okay, so that is a lot to unpack.
Good. Take your time.
Because I was, how we used to say it? Creamy crack addicted for years.
Oh, so you had a perm too.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a Jerry curl?
No, but I wanted one. Oh. My mom and dad still got one.
Still?
Still. To this day, I think they're the long survivors of it.
They holding down.
They holding it down.
Because of them. What is it? S curl and Leisure curl is still in business.
Oh, my parents actually use World of Curl.
Listen.
World of Curl is theirs, okay? But I think I got my first relaxer when I was about, we'll say, 12 years old. Mm-hmm. So from 12 until I moved here, about 32. That's all I knew. Mm. You know, slick it down, keep it moving. I didn't want no new growth in my head.
So every 6 to 8 weeks, she was getting a perm?
Every 6 to 8. As I got old, I started doing it myself. So that 6 to 8 was like every 3 to 4.
We was always over-processing our hair.
To the highest extent. And then turn around, throw some color in it.
Listen.
I know better now. But
know better, you do better.
Absolutely. And that was more so, I believe, now that I am locked and on this different journey with my locks, I never need a relaxer. So That's going back into the whole idea of straight is better.
Right.
Long, you know, doing things like that. So my mom did what she thought was what was best for my hair growing up.
Well, that's the generation above us, right? Like, they were taught that, you know, slick was better, that it was professional, that...
Yeah, it's more appealing to the eye. You can get jobs that way. Mm-hmm. Or... was it society acceptable, things like that. But I came down here, and I'm very fickle, funny about who did my hair. I just met my beauticians and stuff back home, and then I moved away. Yeah. So my next thought was, you know what, I guess I'll go natural. Now, I didn't have no clue what that meant.
Right.
I saw everybody down here, hair was natural. So I said, okay, we're going to we're going to give it a go. We're going to do something different.
So down here means you left New York and you came down to North Carolina.
Left Buffalo, New York, came down to Wilmington, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I would transition from my relaxed hair to my natural hair. Mm. That was an awful transition. For those who can do it, more power to you.
So when you say you transition, was your hair like probably shoulder length at that time and you just stopped doing perms and relaxers?
I was growing, at that time I kind of had a little bob.
Okay.
So I stopped receiving a relaxer, I stopped putting it in, I was letting my hair just grow out. But the whole washing and then you see like that, I don't want to use the word nappy because that's not a appropriate.
Kinky.
But the kinky, there's mm-hmm. the two different textures. You know how when you got a relaxed hair and it's wet, it's real stringy and then your roots is mm-hmm. puffy, we'll say. That transition for 6 months of my life was not feasible. I tried to braid out, the twist out, the bantu knots. It just wasn't working.
Have you always been gifted in like understanding hairstyles? Because you say bantu knots and all that stuff, like did you look it up, did you YouTube it, or did you already know these were styles you could possibly do in the transition?
I actually got into doing my hair, my friend's hair, in high school because my mom was very heavy-handed. Mm-hmm. So I always give her credit of saying that's how I got into doing hair, because I had to figure out a way to get her out of my head. But when I decided to go natural, I went to YouTube University.
Understood.
And I just looked up, you know, different things to do with my hair as I transitioned and being natural.
That's smart.
So that's where I learned like the whole idea, like the bantu knots and different things of that sort. Mm-hmm. But after, I end up doing a big chop because I couldn't do the transition.
Besides my hair now, I enjoyed the big chop. Like,
yeah.
It's very, like, freeing.
It was a release.
Yeah.
It was a good release. When you shed away, because your hair holds things. Mm-hmm. So you think you're growing it out and you're doing different things, but when you do that cut,
yeah,
it's a release like no other.
It
I hope there are some females who understand what I'm saying. When you do a cut, there is so much, we'll say, trauma. There is so much that you are releasing that is such a healing process for you. So I did a big chop, and I was actually natural for 3.5 years before I embarked on a journey of locking my hair traditionally.
Now, you started your locks the first time, because is this your second time now?
This is my second go.
So your first time, you did palm roll. Am I saying that right? Is palm roll the... Is that the way to say it, or...?
I'll say comb coil.
Comb coil.
Comb coil palm roll, okay. Yes. That is how I started. And I did that for 9 years. My locks were down to my backside.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Heavy or not heavy? Is it?
They became heavy my last year.
Okay.
They became heavy and they just became in the way. They were in my food. They were in my dishwater. I had to throw them over my shoulder to dry. I did a loose bun one night, y'all, and I went to sleep. I woke up almost dead.
tried to choke
that. That loose bun had wrapped around my neck. I think I was one twist short of hair aside. I was almost out.
So that's when you decided to look at other options. Now let's pause here, because I think that this is very interesting, because you had very long locks. They were beautiful. They were colored. They had red. Looked like they've been blonde before. Like you've done so much with those, and then you just said, enough's enough, I'm going to try something different. And you cut and then you combed them out?
I did a big chop from my bottom to the middle of my back, just about.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, when I decided to start combing them out, I cut all the red off. So I kind of cut them into like a bob.
Okay.
And combed out from there.
Yeah. I'm starting to see, so I follow a couple of Facebook pages, and I'm starting to see this trend where people are combing out their locks.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, I mean, because really, what is a lock?
A lock is nothing more than just tangled hair.
Tangled hairs.
It is.
Okay.
It is. I say purposely sought out tangled hair. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, you're purposely going to someone for them to either two-strand twist it, braid it, or coil it for it to tangle. Versus just not doing your hair, period, and it tangling and matting. Like, you're purposely seeking out a professional tangle.
How long did it take you to comb out your locks?
a month or so?
2 weeks.
Oh, you were very intentional. Yeah, you was in it.
It took me 2 weeks to actually get my locks combed out, and that was with working full-time, doing hair, still being a mother, wife, and other things that occur. It took me a solid 2 weeks. I tried to give myself a month to do it, and that was like to do like one or two a day. And then I realized at the middle of that month that I only had combed out 5.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had to buckle down and just give it my all, and it took me 2 weeks from that point on to get out.
And then after you combed out, you wore your hair for a little bit, and then you transitioned into micro locks. Can you tell us the difference? Because I don't tell the difference between palm roll, micro locks, inner locks, sister lock, like all of those, because I feel like there's a lot of women who are considering locks. Every time I am around, I get stopped and asked, what is my hair and how is it maintained? So maybe this could help them just understand the different locks. So we talked about palm roll or comb coiled, mm-hmm. is like the traditional way we've seen locks, mm-hmm. right? So now we see sister locks and we see micro locks. What are those differences?
The difference between sister locks and micro locks, the biggest thing is one, sister locks are done with a certification.
Oh, okay.
Anybody who is looking into having sister locks, the person who should be doing those should be either A, an apprentice in the shop, or the person should be certified.
Oh.
That's one. The time frame for sister locks, given where you are going, can be anywhere from 40 plus hours. Those are done in a couple of day sessions. No one that I have seen has ever gotten sister locks done in one day. And if they have, God bless them.
Yeah, because it's a while. Because, I mean, they're very small, right? Most of the time, I'm seeing, like, the people say, I have 400 locks. Yes. I have 300-something locks.
Yes. So they're much smaller than micro locks. And a sister lock is an interlock lock from the actual end of the hair all the way to the scalp. Micro locks can be anywhere between 2 or 3 sizes bigger than a sister lock. And the method for putting those in, it can either be a complete braid, mm-hmm. or it can be a half inch braid with a 2-strand twist bottom. And those can be done between 8 to 10 hours. Okay. So your day is, you know, you spend a day doing it just about, but then you're done.
Now, is there a different hair quality, like thin hair, gray hair, that you would like once? Because I know, so when I decided to get my locks, you always have a hair consultation, mm-hmm. and that's kind of, tell us what happens in the hair consultation and then what makes you journey a person towards comb coiled versus micro locks versus sister locks.
Well, I would never, on my end, do sister locks. I'm not certified in it. I love everybody, but we don't got 40 plus hours to be with each other. I love you guys, but you know, I value your time. I value my time. But, whenever I'm meeting an individual who is considering locks, I always want to speak with them because my main question is why?
Right.
That's the first step, is what's bringing you to this, the decision of wanting locks. If it's a matter of, oh, I still want to do my hair, then I'm shaking my head. And I'm like, that's not it. Let's start over with the question. Why do you want to start the lock journey? Because granted, with locks, you're not combing and brushing your hair. It's a very low maintenance style, but there is maintenance. It still has to be washed. It still has to be maintained. And if you don't do any of that, then you're going to end up doing more damage to your hair than anything else.
Right.
After we get through the reason of why you want to lock your hair, then I'll ask you questions of, what does your lifestyle look like? Mm-hmm. Are you on any medication? Do you have any, you know, thinning? Does your family have any patterns of baldness? You know, things that you don't think will affect your hair or your lock journey that really will. Yeah, your mom may not, she may have all her hair, but your dad, you know, may have thinning or balding, or your granddad or your grandmom, somebody within your family. So genetic traits do play a part in your hair roll. Your water intake.
That's real, your water intake.
Your water intake, you know, has a impact on your hair. Medication has an impact on your hair, because a lot of medication that you can take that can make your hair fall out. And there's nothing that me as a loctician, beautician, ooh, that's an old word, ain't that? can do to, really prevent it. Like, we can, you know, try, but certain medications, that's just what it does. It unfortunately just takes out the hair follicle. And in some aspects, if it's not too bad, it'll grow back. But if it really gets down to the actual follicle, to the bud, and it closes up that area, there's no bringing it back.
Now, that's really helpful. As a locked female, I now follow a lot of different Facebooks. So I'm seeing, like, one's lock journey is completely different from another lock journey.
Completely.
And your hair will do different things at different phases. I will say is that it seems like culture is now more accepting and transitioning to welcoming women or men with locked hair. I remember growing up, many of my friends who were locked in the 90s, in order for them to get the quote unquote good job, they'd have to go cut their hair. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't acceptable in a professional atmosphere. What do you think, in your opinion, is changing the way, I guess, society is accepting locks?
It's getting better. I'm not sure if it's 100% accepted, but it's definitely getting better. I think the military recently has finally, gotten better and accepted it. There are still some schools right here in Wilmington that are not accepting of it. And it's hard because if my child who's 5 years old has had locks his whole life, and then he attends your school, and you say the only he can attend your school is if he cuts his hair off, that is his identity.
Right.
And education might be great, so not out of way, his education versus who he is. You know, there's things like that. But society in general, they're getting better. In some places, does locks, I use the word locks, I do not use the word dreads, and everybody is different, so how you refer to them is your choice. I just feel like locks in general have just a negative stigma to them.
Right.
When you hear a person say, oh, I have locks, or somebody say they have dreads, the first thing they're going to think is the person is unkept, they're dirty. Sad to say, they're a thug, they're a hoodlum, they're no good, and that is not the case. It's just a way that I choose to wear my hair, and why does my hair have to be to your standard for you to see that I am a good-hearted, well-educated person? So I've had traditional locks, and now I have micro locks. My micro locks look different from everybody else's. If you see me, you think I've got curly hair, but I have micro locks, and I don't want people to think, oh, she has good hair, she's a good person. That may not be the case.
Yeah, I hate that that's the association. And it seems like it also happened, not to minimize the hair journey of black folk, but also like tattoos, mm-hmm. Or earring piercings. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this movement where identity is being accepted more. Instead of this clean cut persona that we've experienced. So I agree. Like, we still see those newspaper ads and those media features where, like, the football player had to cut his locks mm-hmm. in order to do X, or the student had to cut his locks or have to think about it, and we've had to sue, and there's the hair rule, right?
Yeah, that can't be past their shoulders, yeah, and stuff like
all
that.
And there was that national ban on hair, like, it gets the Crown Act, right? Like, mm-hmm. So there's so many different things that are impacting the way that we wear our hair. As black women, when you think about the hair that you're touching, and also, like, the one thing that we talked about when I decided to lock is that you also want someone with good spirit in your hair.
You do.
Tell them about that. Like, for that person who's thinking about locking, when you come for the consultation, you mm-hmm. also need to think about that as well.
You do. So your head is your crown, and that is the most sacred part of your body. That's where your energy, comes in and goes out. And everybody who touches you does not have good intentions. I understand you get a stylist, and even with me, blessed and booked is what we'll say. There's mm-hmm. times where I can't get all my clients in all the time. So I understand them having to, reach out to somebody else and getting their hair done. I do not get upset about it. There are wonderful other stylists here in Wilmington and surrounding areas. So I feel like we bounce back off of each other when our books are full. But for those individuals who just hop from seat to seat because the price is better or even the style is better, you got to understand everybody who touches your head carries some form of energy, whether positive or negative. And each time you're allowing anybody, somebody's little sister, somebody's little brother, somebody's cousin, somebody's uncle, just to touch your head for the sake of whatever reason, all that's being kind of like placed on you. So you have to be mindful of who's touching your head, because you have to go home with that. You got to bring that around, you know, other people that you're around.
Yeah, that so energy transfer that, is something.
Whether you want to use the word energy or you want to use the word spirit, you just have to be mindful of the chair hopping and who's touching you, because you never know what is being released. And you might have excellent hair and they're saying, oh my God, your hair is so gorgeous, your hair is lovely. Be mindful, because you don't know if that is a praise of respect or a praise of jealousy. I'm going to leave it right there.
Now that's a statement. Okay, let's transition. We're going to hold that because I need to sit on that myself. Natural hair. Yes. So not only do you start, maintain, restore locks, in all forms and fashion and style, because I have many friends who also come and get their hair styled and all of that, but you also help people on their natural hair journey. What are some of the things that you do in that aspect? Is it blowout? Is it what have you found for women who are transitioning from that relaxed natural state?
So on the natural aspect, I do pretty much everything but color and cut.
Okay.
So we can do your silk press. We can do protein treatments. We can do, I have a steamer for even more of a deep penetrating mask. We can look into, you know, having your ends clipped, because you still need to have your ends clipped in order for healthy hair to grow. Don't ever let somebody be like, oh, your hair grow with split ends. All them split ends are going to do is grow right up that shaft, and you're going to be miserable. So you still need to split it. You know,
length
split
is in. Not the goal. No, we're health, not. Health is the goal.
There we go. So, yes, I still do natural hair. For those who are relaxed, who want to come into natural hair, that is an option. For those who just want to kind of braid their hair into their natural hair, or to relax the hair grows out. That can be done. But here's the thing. A protective style is only a protective style before so long before it becomes a damaging style. So you can get your braids, but your hair has to breathe in between those braids. Hair has to be treated between those braids. So you still got to come in, get it washed, get it treated, get your ends clipped, let it breathe. Maybe do a 2-strand twist, do something else in between for maybe about a month or two, and then go back into your braids. But wearing braids every month, wearing a crochet every month, it's no longer protecting. It is actually doing more damage than how you started out in the beginning.
Yeah, sometimes convenience isn't fair. So you have to also make sure that you're, while you're taking care of doing the convenient style, or that you're also making sure that your hair under is protected. Because we see so many women who enjoy like having lace fronts or having sew-ins, but then they have their sides are very thin, or
there's no edges.
There's no edges, right? And like, while people make fun of that, that's a condition, right? I mean, because that means that you're either adding too much tension on your hair, you're not adding enough moisture in your hair, you know, your hair is brittle, you're not giving enough time to breathe. Like, there are so many other things. So while the no edges trend or whatever is a trending topic, it's actually like for a loctician or a natural hair, it's a warning sign.
It is. Traction alopecia is real. That too much tension and pulling back is real. And one thing that's I noticed with my locks was the weight of my locks was causing stress on my edges. I've always had soft edges just generally growing up, but because that my locks were down to my bottom, the weight of them were
gravity.
Was causing stress on them. Because for those who know me, you'll see me rock a slick back ponytail quick. I really didn't do a retwist on my hair often, just because that was just my choice and how my hair texture is. So the stress of my length was starting to pull. So I had to figure out a way to kind of combat that for myself. And I also talked to my clients about that as well. Updos, too tight, retwist.
Too often,
yeah. Retwist. So I'm really like, no more than once a month. Like, if you come to me at the beginning of the month, but then you want to style at the end, we can do that. But we are not doing like a fresh retwist, because that's too much within a month time frame. You can stretch it out to allow your hair to grow, but too much tension, braids, sew-ins, lace fronts, all that glue and stuff that they're putting on it to slick it down, it's cute, but when you go to pull that stuff off and your edges is going with it, you got to be mindful. Unless you want to purchase those, what's that, the tattooed edges or that glue.
Have you seen that?
Girl, TikTok got it.
I saw that. I was like, what in the heck?
Yes.
One of the things that I noticed was that when people, you know, even with me, like if when I first got my hair locked, I was still, I guess, transitioning my mindset around what did, I guess, not professional hair, but appropriate hair look like. Mm-hmm. So, like, even when I had, I had natural hair for a long time, but I would always either add in some clip-ins. I like big hair. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would add in clip-ins, or I would wear a half wig or something just to give me volume. But I even noticed, like, even half wigs or even the clip-ins, after a while, they start to irritate your scalp. Mm-hmm. But I was always still under that notion that you had to have no hair out of place for it to be professional. But what I've learned to say, it doesn't matter how my hair is going to look, someone's going to question it.
Completely.
It's always the topic, you know? So you have to learn also, when you're doing your hair personally, you have to understand, who are you wearing your hair for? Mm-hmm. That was a hard thing for me, especially we are in a very predominantly white area. Though there are a lot of Black folk here, there is still a lot of understanding that needs to be shared around our hair. And I struggled with that for a little bit, like wanting to come to you and get my hair retied and like waiting the 2 months or waiting a month. And now I will say, the weight is when I love my hair the most. I like it frizzy. Yes. I like it in the unmanageable stage. Now, yeah, I can add edge control and I can wear it down or whatever, but like that lets me know my hair is breathing, it's growing, it's alive.
I was guilty of that when I first started my journey. I was at that point of society ain't gonna have nothing to say about me, because you're gonna always see my scalp. It's gonna always be, you know, it's always gonna look neat, and you
can't see my scalp. Yeah,
you can't call me this. And then I was like, we're not doing all that, because once again, I'm not allowing my hair be for me. I'm doing it for everybody else on the outside that we don't care about me. Mm-hmm. It's really my thought. So once my hair started like really growing, I started letting it frizz up. Like you said, that's when I loved it the most, when it looked fuller, when it, you know, it was doing its own thing, and I was no longer worried about what everybody else had to say about my hair, because rather my hair is freshly retwist, they had something to say then.
Right.
If I let it grow out and get a little frizzy, they have something to say then. It's like, you can't please anybody outside your body.
Right. Yep. And you are in charge of your own happiness. And so I think that was the hard part. I remember it took me a long time to get a nose piercing. And then it took me a long time to show my tattoos. And then it took way too long for me to decide to lock. But I think for me, the hardest part was deciding what type of lock to get, because I wasn't, though I love my hair now and I love the micro locks, I wasn't down with the palm roll, because it just seemed as though that was a big journey. That was a very, that's a personal journey. So it was the optics, the visual. And because I run every day, it's also like, I knew for sure me running was already going to mess up the opportunity for it to lock faster. Like it was going to puff a little bit.
You were too active for a traditional palm roll.
Yeah.
Journey, you needed more of what we're doing now, the interlocking, to where you could wash it on your own and keep moving. And that's why I typically recommend for my clients that are very active. If you're like heavy in the gym, you're heavy working out, you live a very active life, then I'll suggest more of an interlock method than a palm roll, because you can live your life and have to worry about, I done jumped in the shower, wet my head, now the whole lock itself has unraveled. Right. I'm in here looking crazy and I need to go to a meeting, I gotta go out of town. An interlock style method gives you more freedom to be able to jump in the shower, wash your hair, and go on about your day.
Yeah, and I think for anyone who has worn braids or crochet and has had something where their hair has been less manipulated because mm-hmm. you've been in that style, like micro locks have been very effective for me. So for many of those out there, I wore a lot of crochet. I didn't wear, like a lot of people wear the braids. I forgot the name of what the braids everybody's wearing right now. I didn't wear a lot of loose braids. I wore a lot of small twists. I did a lot of the twists when it okay. kinky twists. Mm-hmm. And so I learned how to really manipulate styles out of the kinky twist. So having micro locks to me is like having forever kinky twists.
Okay.
So I was able, I can braid them. I know how to, you know, roll them. But you're right. You couldn't wash your kinky twists. We're here now. I know how to wash them, how mm-hmm. to maintain them, how to condition them. So you're absolutely right. Being locked is also still understanding and managing and maintaining the health of your hair.
Absolutely.
And I would say that, you know, we probably pay more attention to our hair as locked individuals than many people who are not locked.
Man, let me mess around when I had my traditional locks and run my hand through and feel something crazy. I'm like, is that a bald spot?
Right, what right. You're always rubbing your hair through, like, okay. And then, like, I know for me, when I start to let my hair grow out in between reties, they'll start to connect.
Oh, that marrying.
Yeah, so I started to pull them apart mm-hmm. and then try to understand that. And I think you pay a lot of attention because there's just so much unnecessary eyes on your hair once you lock. Mm-hmm. But I think that as natural hair women, like I said, I was natural probably since 2012 and I did the big chop and then about a year ago I locked. But even with that aspect, even when you're natural, doing the puff, doing the wash and go, doing the twist.
What is a wash and go?
So wash,
for me, it was never, it was like a wash and stay and playing it.
Oh, and you never went?
I was tired.
You never went. You never went. Okay. You never went. Okay.
Never went.
I got that. Yeah. And a wash and go, that's a wash and hope for God, because you never know how your hair is going to look once you walk out, unless you put the eco styler in. But then, you know, you only get one good day out of that because it's going to flake.
And it is.
Yeah. So it's like, so if I really got somewhere to go, I got to eco style it, but you can't do mm-mm. anything else. Yes. So, and I realized how much money I was spending as a natural hair person. I mean, I had a whole drugstore in my house trying to figure out what product to mix and mingle, and Shea Moisture was good, and then mm-hmm. Shea Moisture got bought out and it looked like their chemical mm-hmm. changed, and I had to stop using Shea Moisture. And you find what works for you. But I have found that I am grateful that I arrived at my lock journey, and it has been probably the best move for me. Yeah. Have you ever like any stories that you've had from a client that has, you know, did they struggle to make the decision and now they're on the other side? Is that what you see always?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I can't even count on any hands, feet, or anything of people who say they've been toying with the idea of locking their hair for years, but their number one concern was, I like versatility. I mm-hmm. like doing this with my hair. I like to be able to wear braids or wear solans or do this and do that. And the idea that once you lock your hair, you can't do anything with it, I think is the biggest setback for people, because mentally, all they know is, oh my God, locks are permanent. Once I do it, that is it. And that is the biggest misconception. Locking your hair is not permanent. That was the thought back in the day, that once you locked your hair,
that is
the only
true.
Way to get them out was to cut your hair off. Mm-hmm. That is it. I mean, that's not it. I'm a living, you know, example of it. You don't want them, depend on how much time you got in your days, your weeks, your months, cut, comb out. I watch people on TikTok actually comb from their actual ends to their scalp.
Oh, 20, that is true, yeah.
20 years of mm-hmm. locks out. So it's not a permanent aspect no more. So once we have the consultation and they start their process and we talk about that is, you know, once again, it's not permanent, and they start, then it's like, what did I wait so long for?
Yeah,
I have made the best decision. Like, I can actually just take my bonnet off, shake my head, throw some rose water on it, and keep moving. And I'm like, but that is everybody's fear, is the it being permanent. But once they do it, everybody's in love. It took me some time to get into my journey because I say I've only started it twice, but I had a very good friend, Alexia Hunter.
Hey, Masora. Hey.
She actually did comb coils on me, I think, not too long after I did my big chop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, these little worms on my head. I was like, we not doing this. So I wore that for a little minute, and then I combed them out. Because, once again, society eyes, yes, looking at you, mm-hmm, depending on how you start your journey, the length of your hair, and what you're accustomed to, now you're self-conscious.
Yeah.
So I tell everybody, if you're starting with short hair, don't worry about how your head look right now. Go home, throw some big earrings on. If you wear makeup, do your makeup. Keep it moving, like, because it's going to have to start within before it'll show without, you know, on the outside of you. So you got to have that confidence when you start your journey. But yes, once we have the conversation and they start, by second to third retwist, you can't tell them nothing.
Yeah.
Can't tell them nothing.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And I've even had hairstyles where, like, it was like the coil, and it's just more so. And I think when I remember I did the first big chop, you always hear like, oh, you look masculine,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, like people associate length of hair and straightness of hair or curls in hair with beauty. And you have to understand that once you take this journey for yourself, you are bucking at the system.
You are.
You know, like, you you have the opportunity to really say, I'm going to redefine this for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had many people who have, you know, bucked back once I walk in there with the confidence. But I think Holly and Chloe Bailey have really helped that too. They demystify what you can do with your locks. Like, we've seen them do some amazing hairstyles too.
I want to meet their stylist, because,
mm-hmm,
for the way that she can, or he, whoever, can tie their locks down and put those different styles within those crowns of those girls, I just want to sit and
watch. That sounds like a masterclass.
That is like, mm-hmm, magic,
because they have so much hair, and to think about how they're putting, I mean, like, she went underwater, you know, all, mm-hmm, of those different things, and then, you know, thinking about how I've been seeing, like, Chloe and Holly, I think they also, like, the freeness that they gave at such a very young age, mm-hmm, I think is also helping younger individuals see themselves with locks or see themselves with braids. But, like, I've seen on, like I said, on Facebook groups where people are placing braids on top of their locks, where they're doing all types of things. Now, knowingly that that's going to give more hair,
mm-hmm,
and that's going to add tension.
Mm-hmm.
But for a quick vacation style or whatever, mm-hmm, so be it, right?
Yeah, I mean,
if it's your thing.
If it's your thing, like, I can only educate and, you know, express my concern on what I feel about it. But at the end of the day, it's the client, you know, it's their choice. When you put braids in certain extensions over locks that cause any additional tension, understand that you are now putting your locks and your scalp, your follicles, at risk of it being damaged.
Mm.
That's like, if you can't imagine the amount of tension just for a regular knotless or braid.
Knotless, that's what I couldn't think of, yeah.
Yeah, or single-leaf twist or kinky twist. If you can imagine the initial pressure of just gripping your own hair to apply it, now they are adding even more tension and pressure to cover up your lock. So then once it comes out, your actual root has been elongated, stretched, mm, out where it normally wouldn't have been. So, and stuff like that, you can't revert.
Mm. So be mindful of those type of, yes, manipulations.
Be mindful. Once again, it's everybody's decision. It's their choice. I can't tell you what to do, but just be mindful of those quick vacation hairstyles, because it can be a permanent damage, even though it's only quick.
That's good to know, because I haven't done one. I haven't brought it to you yet, but I have seen them. I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you decide that you want a little bit more length. You, mm-hmm, know, if you've been growing it out from the root and you didn't get extensions, mm-hmm, and your micro twist or anything of that nature,
yeah,
like, and you want a little bit of extra length. So just be mindful that you can do it, but be educated on how it could impact your hair.
Yeah, I tried it one time, but then I was like, doesn't seem beneficial to the client or the hair. So, you know, when you know better, you do better. So from there on, you know, I will remove services when I know it's not a true beneficial service to the client.
That was exactly what I was saying. So how do you stay up to date on like the latest trends and techniques for that? So you'll try it out and then you'll kind of assess it and then
so I'll see something, I'll try it, study it first, you know, YouTube University, TikTok University as well, a lot of things, you know, some things you see by eye, some things just come to you in a vision, you know. And my daughter has combed out her locks of 6 years, but you find somebody that's willing to, hey, let me try this on you and go from there. Or I would try it on myself. But trial and error is always the way of learning. You see different things, you try it, you put it in, and if it works, you add it to your service. If it don't, you take it, you know, you don't put it in. And if you have a service and you're seeing that the service is not being used, you know, times change.
Right.
Take it out. You know, I might add in Jerry Curl. I might find somebody here in Wilmington who have a Jerry Curl.
Listen. we about to wrap this up. She got to refocus. So when you talked about the last thing is like maintaining. So, okay, we have locks. We've just started. You brought up rose water. What are some other natural products or that you can buy that you think would be helpful for those who are natural and or locked to kind of maintain the moisture of their hair? So what is rose water? Is it literally rose water?
The one that I get is off of Amazon and is just rose water itself. Mm-hmm. I know the stores here sell rose water with glycerin and things of that sort, and I know it's hard to find. But I am a big, big fan of rose water.
Okay.
Because of the benefits that it supplies to the hair.
Okay.
I'm gonna come back to that real quick with somebody's name. I'm gonna name a few things. So rose water. Vitamin E, because that can be used on the body as well as the hair. It's a very light oil.
Okay.
And even with the things I'm going to mention, I am aware that everybody's hair responds to every product differently. So what I'm saying is not a holy grail. That was one thing I misconstrued when I was starting my natural journey. When you said you had a whole pharmacy, a CVS, or, you know, a hair store in your bathroom.
Trying it all out, yeah.
Because anything that was mentioned on YouTube, I ran out and purchased, not realizing that my hair texture and their hair texture is completely different.
Right.
And my hair was not going to respond the same way. But I just went and bought it because they said it would curl their hair, their twist outs, braid out would all come out a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So vitamin E, castor oil can be good. It's a carrier oil, but I really only recommend that in the wintertime because it is heavy.
Oh.
Using it in the summer, it's hot as who knows here in Wilmington. Use it here in the summer, between your sweat and the oil running through your head,
we're going to clog scalp
and burning eyes.
Oh, it's going to drip.
Yes. So those is where I kind of stick with. If you got any kind of irritation, I recommend tea tree. You can use peppermint. I do not recommend using them together, but use them separately.
Mm-hmm. And you think like what not soluble, not concentrated, but like with like a couple of drops with some water.
Yes.
Okay.
Or if you want to put just a little dab and just go right to that little area.
Okay. And tea tree, what is it good for? You said irritation, or is it good for like castor oil helps your hair grow, right?
Yes, but that's, you know,
tea tree gets rid of like infection or like a rash or like a what do you use in tea tree for?
Tea tree for me, I like to say use that when there is irritation,
okay.
More so an infection, but you know your scalp is a little irritated.
Okay.
Peppermint, if it's a little tight, you know, you can use that. Some people use peppermint for like headaches, you know, things of that sort.
I do. I rub it on my temples when I have a headache.
Yeah. But none of it, because tea tree and peppermint can be so strong, never use them together. That's one thing I say. Don't put them together unless you want to fire on your scalp.
Okay. But I like the vitamin E. That's a great recommendation. And I know you always use rose water.
Yeah, so going back to rose water, it balances the scalp's, you know, pH.
It also soothes any kind of irritation, and it provides hydration. So rather than just using your regular water, rose water itself will hydrate. You don't want to overuse it, because the one that I recommend is has a real strong rose smell to it. Mm-hmm. And once you use it too much, like, it's hard to get out.
Oh.
But it's beautiful. But with everything, there is, you know, a limit to how much you want to
spray. And none of that will, like, clump. I know some people are afraid of, like, the buildup.
Okay. So that's when you go into your clarifying shampoo. And because with Lox, your hair is not open, like, free hair.
Mm-hmm.
Free hair is what I call loose hair. So when you shampoo the hair, as a loctician, as a stylist, our main goal is to get the lock saturated to push any and all, as much possible, buildup out of the hair. Mm. Sometimes we're 100% beneficial in doing that. Sometimes we are not. And that's when we go into a lock detox, which we will submerge the locks in a bath of baking soda, apple cider vinegar.
I've seen that online, yeah.
A little bit of salt and lemon juice. And what that will do is go deeper into the lock and try and break down the buildup that is in it.
Okay.
One thing that those products cannot do is get rid of lint. Locks are a magnet for lint. Outside, floating around the air, clothing, pillows, anything fabric-wise that your lock touches, it will just suck it up.
Okay. So be mindful when you're sleeping to wrap your hair up.
Make sure your hair is always wrapped up, because your pillowcase can do it. Your sheet can do it. Your comforter can do it. If you have any kind of pets, I cannot tell you how many times a client has come in. I'm washing out the dog hair and the client hair, you know. But it's natural, so it's not like anything that they come in. I'm like, gross. It's natural. Like, if your hair wasn't locked, we wouldn't see it. But because our hair is locked, it just gets intertwined in it. And, you know, I can see it. So it's stuff like that you want to just be mindful of, just keeping your hair covered when you go home. Because it's easy to say, I'm about to watch television. Before you know it, you done lay down, or you done lay back. And, you know, your pet done, you know, ran across you or wanted to cuddle with you. So you just have to be mindful with locks, because they're little magnets outside, the pollen.
Okay. And I just got another question. Mm-hmm. The question was coloring. So you can color your locks. Mm-hmm. You can color your natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use the same? Or do you recommend? I know that a lot of people do the box at home stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's safe? Or do you always recommend coming to get it done by your beautician? Or is there something you could do at home? Like, is a henna okay? What do you recommend?
I will always say to make sure it's being done properly and effective.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a stylist.
Okay.
Go to a stylist.
But you can have your hair colored. You can... Yes. All the same things. Manipulation. Yes. You can do with loose hair.
Yes.
You can do with your locks or with natural hair.
I had over 9 different colors in my locks.
Okay.
You can do it. But they were always done in a professional setting. That's the best way to get it done. And if you do not get your hair colored before getting your locks, I have everybody wait a year till their locks have matured.
Mm-hmm.
Before getting it done, or you can get it done beforehand and then you can start your journey. But if you're going to color your hair, please get it done professionally. Now, if you feel like you can do it yourself, once again, education is just education, but it's your decision at the end of the day.
All right. And then last question would be, can I go, and this is a lock question, start off with micro twist, or I started off with comb coiled.
Mm-hmm.
Can I switch to interlocking? Could I switch to palm roll? Or once you start off in one type of lock style, is that your maintenance? Because I've had some friends who have seen, they've told me before they were comb coiled, and then they went and got interlocked a little bit. And then they maybe, because they wanted their roots to be tight again or something. Now, it'll change the presentation of it, right?
It will.
Okay.
But it's doable.
It's doable.
You can start out with comb coils and go on the interlock. You can start out with interlock and go to comb coil.
Okay.
It will change the pattern of your lock or how it looks. It'll either start out with a braided pattern and go to a more of a cylinder look or it will vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But it can, once again, versatility.
Yep. No, this was really helpful. Is there anything that I missed or anything that you want the listeners to know about natural hair or transitioning to locks or being a locked lady?
I'll say
or man, this. Or man, because there's men. Men,
yes, because there are men, yes. And I do start a lot of men locks as well as female.
Mm-hmm.
I typically say this for lock journeys, but I'll say it for natural hair as well. We have to stop looking at other people's hair saying, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Your journey, whether it's going to be a lock journey or you're deciding to come from a natural and going into relaxed going into natural, it's going to be what your hair does. I use the word, do not become lock envy. Do not become natural envy.
Mm.
Your texture is your texture. Their texture is theirs. Everybody here is going to do what it feels best in doing.
Mm-hmm.
I can assist. I can help. We can talk. We can do the journey together. But at the end of the day, I cannot make your hair look like Beyonce's.
Or Tiffany Tucker's, because I love her hair. Y'all go find Tiffany, look at her hair. Her natural hair is amazing.
Yes, like I've been told I have gifted hands, I have mm-hmm. growing hands, all of that, but there's just certain things within my power that I cannot do, and that is I cannot make your journey be identical to anybody else's. Me, my daughter, and my oldest son, we were all locked. But all of our hair is completely different. Mm. So our journeys look different. So be mindful. Embark on your journey. Enjoy your journey. And just be patient in what you do.
Yeah.
And it will work out.
Now, and where can people find you? So if they would like to book an appointment or come for a consultation, it's Naturally Yours.
Naturally Yours by Candace on Facebook and Instagram. You can find me on, how do kids say, Google me on Google as well. Send me a message. You can, my business line, if you want to call, is 910-479-4562.
And your specialty is in locks, but also natural hair and all the things. You can find all the different services online. Yes,
everything that I do is on there. If there's something that you are looking for that is not listed, just call. We could talk about it. And if I do not know, because I will tell you if I don't know something, there are other stylists that I will recommend you to.
Yeah. And I will say, as we wrap up, that when I decided to lock, we really had a good heart-to-heart to figure out what was the best method for me, my hair type. Do we start off with braids or twists? Do we start off with... So there, the consultation is worth every bit of the drive to Bolivia. Is worth every conversation. One, it eases your heart because you're about to embark on a journey and you want someone who's going to go on that with you and that you need to have that relationship. And, you know, like the whole time we've been together this past hour on this podcast, Candace has been doing my hair. So her energy is also a transferring. And so that goodness and that spirit of good grace that you're hearing through the podcast is also being transferred in my day. You know what I mean? Like I look forward to going to getting my hair retied because I know that I'm going to walk away with a spirit of happiness and feeling blessed. And so you want someone who's going to be able to give you that as well, not just give you a hairstyle for the day. Mm-hmm. So just be mindful and be excited about what you may be doing. If for anyone who is thinking about the journey, do it. As she told you, it's not permanent.
It's not permanent.
You know, and take the moment to look. There's micro locks. There's comb coil locks. There's free.
The
free ones are, now listen, people do them.
There are free forms.
Free form. Mm-hmm.
There are wigs. I don't do free form. I don't do wigs. But those, there are different, varieties of locks. So I guess what my love is saying is, Do your research. Find the lock journey that you feel you want to embark on. And from that, make your decision and have at it. Don't let the fear of it's permanent. Once I do it, it's it. You know, I can't come out of it because that's not it. And don't worry about what anybody is going to say about your journey. The biggest thing is they talked about Jesus. So why wouldn't they talk about you?
Listen. And with that, this episode is a wrap. Thank you so much, Candace, and thank you all, and may you all be inspired to find your own journey with your natural or your permanent hair that you're thinking about going to a non-processed style or even lock, but may you be inspired. Have a great day. Sherry Shaw, Sherry Nicole, signing off.
this episode is a wrap. Thank you for tuning in and to this enlightening episode of Black Woman Working, where we exploit the beauty and empowerment of natural hair and lock care with the incredible Candace Metcalf of Natural Yours by Candace. Candace's insight and expertise have shed light on the importance of embracing and celebrating our natural beauty, while also providing invaluable tips and guidance for nurturing our hair with love and care. As we close, we want to extend our gratitude to Candace for sharing her knowledge and passion with us. Remember, your hair is not just a style. It's a statement of identity, culture, and resilience. Embrace it, love it, and let it flourish. Until next time, this is Sherry Nicole signing off.